The London 2012 Paralympic Games draw to a close this weekend after an extraordinarily successful 10 days of events that have seen the participation of well over 4,000 disabled athletes from countries right across the globe. The Games, which opened with a spectacular ceremony on August 29th, have seen the largest participation ever, not only of athletes and coaches in some 20 different sporting disciplines, but they've also enjoyed the largest numbers of spectators and most impressive media coverage, reflecting a new interest in the achievements of Paralympian men and women. In a sense, the Games also marked a spiritual homecoming, since the idea of competitive sports for disabled athletes was launched in the British Stoke Mandeville Hospital in the years immediately following the Second World War. The first event, an archery competition, was organised for war veterans to coincide with the opening of the 1948 Summer Olympic Games, also held in the British capital that year. After the closing ceremony on Sunday, as the athletes return home, organisers and others are promising the legacy of these games will continue far into the future. The Olympic Park itself will be transformed and next summer is scheduled to reopen as a sports and entertainment complex, hoping to attract over 9 million visitors a year. The huge eye-catching steel sculpture by artist Anish Kapoor, like it or hate it, is Britain's largest piece of public art, offering visitors fantastic views across London, on a clear day that is. But beyond the infrastructure and undoubtedly positive experience of so many during these games, how much will these Paralympics really serve to change attitudes and challenge commonly held prejudices about disability in our modern societies? Well, I put those questions to James Parker, the Catholic coordinator for the 2012 London Olympic and Paralympic Games.
I've had the great honour of being the first ever lay Catholic chaplain to serve at the Paralympic Games, which of course is that heavily guarded home to all the athletes and officials alongside the Olympic Park. And it really is a sacred place. Why do I say this? Because the Paralympic Village is strewn with wheelchairs, crutches, bodies of every shape, size, and so-called disfigurement imaginable, if you like. And yet there's a stronger sense of community and a vibrant, tangible passion for life that not even the greatest town or city of the world could boast. I mean, the joy there really is palpable. It's a place where everybody's celebrated, everybody's honoured, and everybody's in service of one another. It really is quite extraordinary. And I'm constantly reminded there of the words of St. Lawrence when, back in the year 258, he was commanded by the Emperor Valerian to bring the church's treasury to him. And it was days later that St. Lawrence brought the poor and the crippled and the maimed before the emperor, and he stated, "Behold the jewels of the church." And yet for such a simple action, he was martyred. You know, we see the word superhumans on our billboards around Britain itself. And yet, speaking to the Paralympians, they themselves would say that they're no different to any other human being. They just wish the opportunity to be equal and to live as full a life as anybody else would. Yes, they often have greater degrees of adversity to overcome, but in all honesty, this is an aspect of any life that truly wishes to be lived to the full.
These Paralympic Games have been particularly important, haven't they, as they've been really the first occasion in which the Olympics and the Paralympics have been marked together as a celebration of sport, as you say, whatever the disability.
Absolutely. I mean, what's been wonderful and very historic is this is the first time that the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games have been organised by the very same committee. LOCOG, the London Organising Committee of the Olympic Games, refused to have two separate departments, one for sort of Paralympics and one for Olympics. They said, no, you know, the same team that serves the Olympics must be the same team that serves the Paralympics. And so there has been, in a sense, a dovetailing, a unifying work that's been taking place at the very sort of basic or foundational level of the games itself. And hopefully, and this is very very much been, we've seen this in the past week, this is what is sort of being manifest through the games themselves. The Paralympics isn't the sort of the younger brother or the lesser cousin in some way or other, but both of these are being given the same profile, the same value, and really the same recognition that they both deserve.
And that's certainly been reflected in attitudes there, hasn't it? I mean, I understand that for the first time ever, the tickets for the Paralympics were sold out long before the Games started. Has it been possible for people to get in, all those who wanted to?
It clearly hasn't been possible for everybody who's wanted to go to be able to go. I don't know whether this is just because of the astounding achievements and, in a sense, performances that we've seen from many of the athletes through the Paralympic Games. But in my own role linked with both the Paralympic and the Olympic Games, I've had phenomenally more telephone calls from people wanting to try and obtain tickets to attend the Paralympic Games, more so ever than with the Olympic Games. And I think that shows people's passion and their desire to be able to support the Paralympics and all that the Paralympics are about, which is about engaging with those values that reject discrimination and honour determination, look for the sense of inclusivity, the sense of equality, and the creativeness that comes out and is manifest through the Paralympic Games themselves as well.
This, as you say, has been an extraordinary summer for the Olympics, and particular for these Paralympics. How do you keep that momentum going, do you think, once it's all over? And how much is it really going to change attitudes, not just in the UK, but also in those countries where stigma is still such a huge problem for those with disability?
Well, I mean, we've got two or three different things that we're looking at engaging with as legacy. And one of those is we're in conversation at the moment with a group down in Haiti, the poorest nation of the world, which, as we all know, has experienced two horrendous earthquakes and has left many, many people there maimed and disabled. And so they probably have the highest percentage of amputees there per capita. They've got a wonderful football team called Team Zarian. The word Zarian is Creole for tarantula. When a tarantula loses its leg, it keeps on going. It acts as though life is normal. And Team Zarian are planning to come over to the UK and to tour the UK, so that there's a real sense in which we continue to open the eyes, particularly of the younger generation, to the fact that any form of disability, one, shouldn't be discriminated against, but secondly, it shouldn't be seen as holding back people's lives. And I think this is one of the greatest messages that the Paralympics themselves are literally screaming at our young people here across Britain, and yes, across the world itself, is saying that, you know, just because your body isn't so-called an abled body doesn't mean that you can't achieve the same things as other people. And in some cases, actually, you can be a witness to the fact that every single human life is valuable, contains potential, and that potential needs to be discovered, to be engaged with, and to be achieved. And then, as importantly, to be celebrated. And that's something that we are, I hope that Britain itself, this is the message that it will give to the rest of the world, and that it will lead the way itself once the games themselves are finished. I just might say that I think also that what is stirring people, certainly the Christian community across the UK, and I hope this is something that we embrace, engage with and move forward, is that we need as a whole, along with others who share our beliefs on the dignity of human life, we need to continue to take the lead, like St. Lawrence, to stridently work towards changing Britain's discriminatory and outdated abortion laws. And if this issue is not addressed as we wave goodbye to the Paralympic Games from our shores, then it's hard to imagine when another opportunity of this sort will pass our way, when society as a whole is celebrating the incredulous achievements of the people with disabilities. And if we don't address these laws, then in a couple of decades' time, Britain won't be able to provide the extensive variation of Paralympic athletes that we're providing today to be able to compete in Paralympic Games.
This work that you've been doing there, these teams of chaplains, they've been providing a very visible witness of Catholic or indeed Christian or faith presence there at the Games. How do you think this can be continued in a sense after it's all over?
Well, we're quite fortunate, or perhaps even more appropriate to say is blessed, is that we have the 2014 Commonwealth Games coming up in 2 years' time. The following year, we have England will host the Rugby World Cup. 2 years later, 2017, we had the World International Athletics and then the Cricket World Cup in 2019. And so the relationships that we have been building, we have already made a commitment that we will continue to work together, both to serve the sporting world and as a way of to listen to what the sporting world can teach us as faith communities as a whole. Because it's very, very clear to me, certainly within the Olympic Village and now in the Paralympic Village, that the variation of people from the world, many of whom are often outside of the Paralympic or Olympic Villages, seem to be, in a sense, enemies of one another, but they can live side by side with one another through sport. A great example of that was on the evening of the opening ceremony of the Paralympic Games, when the large Iranian team was wheeled past and walked past the British team of Paralympians, and they both seriously cheered each other. Their voices were raised, there was extensive clapping, and I looked and thought, when and where would I see Britain cheering and applauding Iran? Or Iran, indeed, cheering and applauding Britain. And so we need to take very seriously what these games are teaching us and to continue to keep rolling these out with events in our own land, but also in countries across the world that host global sporting events.
Finally, I'm just going to ask you, James, to give me, if you could, a kind of personal reflection on the work that you've been doing there. You've had this very privileged position as a chaplain, a lay chaplain to the athletes and their teams. Can you give me some idea of the kind of work you've been doing, the kind of stories that you've encountered during this time?
Overall, people aren't aware that chaplaincy exists. So for many people to actually realize that their spiritual needs are being provided for, not just in the Paralympic Village, but this time around in the Olympic Park itself, for the spectators, the officials, the volunteers, people who work there. And what strikes me above all is that degree of hunger that exists within the human spirit to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. And really looking at the words of Professor Stephen Hawkins at the opening ceremony of the Paralympics, and even as a physicist and a scientist, he speaks something that very much resonates within every human spirit and in a sense comes off the pages, if you like, from the Word of God. And he says this, he said, there's no such thing as a standard or run-of-the-mill human being, but we all share the same spirit. However difficult life may seem, there is always something you can do and succeed at. So let us begin to celebrate excellence, friendship, and respect. And he goes on to say that we must not look at our feet, but to look upwards towards the stars. And for us, that means towards God himself through the person of Jesus Christ.
My thanks there to James Parker, the Catholic coordinator for the 2012 London Olympic and Paralympic Games.